Add a berry blast off for your day with the new Berry Pebbles. A berry twist on a classic breakfast. Perfect for giving those growing minds a blast of creativity. With the new Berry Way to Pebbles. Yabba dabba do you with Berry Pebbles. Head to postpebblescereal.com to learn more. Yabba dabba do and the Flintstones and all related characters and elements, copyright and trademark Hanna-Barbera.
Sergeant and Mrs. Smith, you are going to love this house.
Is that a tub in the kitchen?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
The Sports Walk is back. Watch Season 2 of Backpack Broadcasting's original web series that brings you the opinions of real sports fans. The entire first season and current season are available now on the Sports Walk YouTube channel and Facebook page. Check out the 2017 NYC WebFest official selection and see what other sports fans have to say on the hottest issues in sports today. It's easy. Just take the Sports Walk.
Hey, this is Howard Beck from Bleacher Report. You're listening to the Ain't Hard to Tell podcast.
From the Gotham Podcast Studio, Dexter Henry, Brian Fonseca, the Ain't Hard to Tell podcast, and we have a guest today in the building. Very happy we've been trying to get this guy on here.
Don't mess up the
for
name.
For quite some time. Josue Pavon. I see. I didn't even ask
is
the
it
last.
Pavon?
It's Pavon.
Pavon. I knew it.
Josue Pavon.
Let me say it.
Yeah, bro, I thought you would get on there. Yeah. I thought you would be all over there.
No, but Dexter's the professional here, so he does the
clearly
intro
not like clearly that. Not with the Latino names.
Nah, he's the lead. He's the lead. That's cool. Right. That's cool. Josue, we got it down.
I told you before, Josue, I never want to mess up anybody's name. Never want to disrespect them.
I appreciate
that.
Yeah,
and I say, and you say Josue, I say Josue because I'm Puerto Rican. It's a habit.
Right.
I have an uncle who's named Josue, is spelled the same way. So,
okay.
Yeah, that's where that kind of crosses over. Writer at WEEI. And
yes.
I have to first ask you how.
What do you mean how?
What you know think? What I'm talking
they
about.
They do hire minorities, Brian, if that's what you alluded to, all right? All right?
Yo,
there's Michael Hawley.
Michael
and then there's Josue Pavon. I mean, they hire minorities from time to time.
They do.
Every decade or so.
So I was
Yo, but you know what's funny is that because
that's funny. That's all I got. Michael Hawley. That's the only other minority.
I mean, that says a lot, but it's Boston.
We were in, and look,
man.
we
that's a whole nother story.
We just love to hate Boston and New York. It's a love. This hate starts with love, so it's okay.
Yeah, I've listened before. You guys, I can feel the hate.
Saw Josue in the media room when the Nets played Celtics. I think it was in January. And we were talking about...
Wait, is this the first time you guys met?
In person, yes. But okay. We have known each other for a while because pregame show.
Right. So I used to do a pregame report for CLNS Media, which I do video reporting for.
Yes.
Yeah. And it used to be like a 5-6 minute podcast before every single Celtics game. So I had Brian on, and it was always just great chemistry, man. I always loved what he had to say. Great, you know, breaking down the Nets and the matchup. So whenever the Celtics play the Nets, I would hit him up. Like, yo, you trying to do this?
We kept in contact. And
we kept in contact since.
What I was hoping for and to ask about this was I was hoping that you guys hadn't met before that. So if you saw each other in the media room, it would have been like the only thing, like, yo, two Latino reporters, we see each other, like, I see you, bro.
You know what? That kind of happens
because black people, we do that all the time,
but that does happen. That kind of does happen. Yo, that happened when I met Erica Fernandez for the first time.
Yep,
we saw each other in a boxing media room. We were like, oh, okay,
I'm not alone,
we got to stick together. But anyway, because we were talking about the whole WEEI thing, and then he was like, damn, you know about that up here?
I do. I mean, I knew.
That's what he said. He was like, yeah, bro, we think y'all is wild.
So how did you know? Like, what does that make headway over here in New York?
Well, here to be completely.
What's the headline say? EEI might be racist.
No.
Is that the headline?
I got to give full disclosure here before we get into this.
And by the way, let's say you cover the Boston Celtics.
Yes.
Which, you know.
Well, no. So,
I used to
work for a company.
This is a goat.
I used to work for a company that did video with WEEI years ago.
He's so worked everywhere.
When I came, they also used to do video for the Boston Globe. So sometimes when I came up to Boston to do some of these videos, I'd work with people from the Boston Globe, Dan Shaughnessy, other guys.
Okay.
And WEEI, some guys too, would also do some video there as well too.
And all the time I was there doing work with WDEI, I never saw anybody that looked like us. That's all I'm saying. Never saw that. I never saw it. So when Brian told me, he's like, yo, WEI has this reporter, Josue, I'm like, yo.
His name is Josue. What?
Well, my reaction too.
And he's from Boston?
Yeah.
Oh, I was like, yo, that's dope. No, seriously. Yeah. I'm like,
and let me say this, full time. At WEI.
That's right. That's right.
Full time at WEI.
They ain't jerking him on the pay.
Yo.
Finally get some respect around here.
Yeah, they're not just stringing you along as a freelancer.
No.
You know how that goes.
It started that way. But yeah, I got some respect around
here. I'm still there.
Yes. So. But you'll move out of that.
But that's funny, man. Before the Nets game, literally, what was it, like 10 minutes into the conversation with these guys, they're like, so, WEI, huh? I'm like, oh, man.
It wasn't 10 minutes.
Here we go.
Because, you know, I'm quick. Yeah, you saw how the podcast started.
It wasn't just you either. It was, I forget these dudes' name, but I had a great time.
Gerard was there.
Gerard.
Oh, you met Gerard.
Oh,
okay.
Man, cool,
yes,
dude.
Gerard was there. Darrell was there. The same, you know.
People we've had on the podcast.
People that I really messed with.
We was talking for like an hour before the game, and I'm like, man, I kind of just want to kick it here and watch the game from the break room because these two had me rolling, man. It was a good time.
And Brian kept it real messy to start it off.
Oh, yeah, of course. We was all over the place. We could talk about that.
Madalino's came through. We were talking about hip hop.
Yeah.
Oh, the hip hop conversation was. I needed that.
Now we're gonna get into all of that.
Yes,
here.
Let's now, do it. See, we don't have that at the Celtics beat, man. We don't.
Now, real quick,
you can't talk hip hop with these guys. Sometimes.
You came to the right place for that.
Yeah, exactly.
Real quick. So first of all, we're just gonna get real quick because we got a lot to get into in terms of what you're doing with the Celtics, going on in the NBA, disdain with the Knicks right now.
Yes, the Knicks. I just want to hit the headlines right now.
And you see, Brian's a person who's always got to try to be messy.
He's so giddy right now. Check him out.
Excited. When he's this giddy,
I've been waiting
for
this for 48 hours.
Hold on, what are you giddy about though? You got to be giddy about July 1st. So you still got some time to.
No. I'm giddy about the Porzingis trade. But first of all, again, going back to the previous question, just sort of how did you do it? Getting into sports journalism in all cities of doing it in Boston.
What do you mean?
No, I don't mean that in a disrespectful way.
City of champs, man. It's a great spot to start off.
I agree. But as we previously alluded to,
it's always going to come back to this.
There are not a lot of people who look like us up there doing it in media circles. So
I got you.
You're somewhat of a trailblazer, I would
say. Yeah, well, I'm trying to change things. You know, obviously things are a little different at EEI. But, I mean, for Boston sports in general, sports journalism, I mean, there's a few guys out there. You got A'Sherrod Blakely, covers the Celtics. Who else? Gary Washburn. Yeah, good Michael deal. Hawley, you know. So
it's
changing a bit.
Clevis Murray? Was he on
Clevis Murray, yes. Clevis Murray? Yeah, that's my guy, yeah.
Didn't you have... No, because we follow each other on Twitter also.
Yeah,
and I remember seeing a photo of y'all sitting next to each other in a press room before.
He actually started off with CLNS Media as an intern. And then he went ahead and got hired from The Athletic.
Yeah.
So he's doing his thing with them. And that's my guy. We kick it all the time. But see, that's another guy, too. Like, I can't even talk hip-hop with this guy sometimes, you know? Because these youngsters, man, they just don't know, man.
Oh,
they just don't know.
Oh, you're going to get to the ages in the hip-hop here.
I mean, think about it. This guy is, what, 21? He's 21 years old. So I talk about
still
legends, and he's just looking at me like, yeah, they are. Right.
Yeah,
like,
but see, here's the thing.
What do you mean they are?
This guy is a rare guy.
I have a Ghostface Killah hoodie
on. In the fact that before we started this podcast, the reason it would even work is he's got a good sense of classic hip hop.
Yeah, but Brian's what are you mid-20s?
25. Yeah.
Okay.
So he's a little.
That might be the cutoff, though. That might be it.
It might be. You know what? He's probably right at that point. You're right.
Right, but what also helps me is my older brother.
Yeah.
Is,
okay. That helped me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Slightly older than Dexter, without giving too much away. But, but
I feel you on that.
Everybody
Dexter.
Knows my age.
So slightly older than that. Yeah. But I was introduced to a lot of that early. I often say, you know, Nas and old Jay Z and Black Moon and Sean Price and Helter Skelter and all that stuff.
Okay.
Stuff. Yeah. And how old are you?
Wu-Tang and
huh?
All that.
How old are you?
Oh, come
you
on, man. Dex, damn.
Oh man. Well, we all put it out there. I was like, you can put yours out there.
I just turned the big 30.
Oh, okay. Feel good.
I'm not too bad.
Feel good.
When I met him, I thought he was closer to my age.
Everyone thinks that. So I like to keep that out there.
Hey, nobody thinks I'm as old as I am. Black don't cry.
Black don't cry.
No,
I was just about to say.
I am not complaining.
But anyway, to answer your question, so after college, I actually started off in promotions with WEI. It was the street team. You know, you go out, give out tickets, you know, to whatever show, get everybody pumped up or whatever sporting event. And then from there, I became a producer. So I was doing that. I used to produce part-time for mostly the night shows. We used to do, what was it? So the EI used to carry the Celtics. This is when Pierce and Garnett was still trying to win a second championship, and
Net fans just cringed.
Unfortunately, they lost the contract. But I used to produce the post game show, so that was fun. And then from that, man, I just started working, picking up on my writing that I used to do during my college years. I kind of dropped the ball a bit, but I got back into it. I started my own blog, CosbyStreet.com. So I got into it in that way, and I just started sending my samples to Rob Bradford, who's the editor at WEI.com. He said, "You like my stuff." Asked me if I like to be covered the Celtics games. I'm like, is that a question? Absolutely, let's do it.
Right.
So, yeah, he's looking for a Celtics guy. So, and this is right when the Brad Stevens era started. So there wasn't a whole lot of attention with the gravitating towards the Celtics. So I was like, yeah, let's do it. I'll get us some clicks. I got you, Rob. And then Isaiah came, Kyrie Irving came, and all the views started popping up. And from there, I got the full time gig. So it's been great ever since.
Speaking of Kyrie Irving.
Yes. Speaking of Kyrie Irving.
What about him? What happened?
He's
what are you talking about?
He hasn't been saying anything in the news lately.
No, he's chilling.
He's been chilling.
He's waiting for July 1st.
You were, and we're recording this on a Saturday. You were at the game where the Celtics played the Knicks.
I was.
You heard the "We Want Kyrie" chants.
Yes. A few times.
This is a beautiful tie-in to everything we want to discuss.
That put a big smile on your face, didn't it, Brian? I want Kyrie.
I was like, yo, this way's coming at the perfect time.
So let's.
Yeah, that's when I messaged you. I'm like, yo, it's going to be perfect.
I was like, this is beautiful.
Let's do it.
It is beautiful. So let's circle back a little bit.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Before we get into what happened the other day.
All right. A little tease.
Top of the year. Celtics have this event, fan event with all the ticket holders,
season ticket holders. Yep.
Right there at this event, and Kyrie basically comes out and is like, "Yo, I want to be here. I want to stay here." And so, Celtics fans, I know, and I have a few friends who are Celtics fans. They actually live in New York, live in Brooklyn.
Same,
it's amazing.
Me too,
happened.
Actually.
When that happened,
yeah. Well,
KG.
It was
KG.
Well, that's the reason my fiance is a Celtics fan.
I knew it. That changed everything. KG. That brought a lot of new Celtics fans that you wouldn't have expected.
Yeah. So that's true. My other good friend, he's from Cambridge, Massachusetts. And so he long time fan. Anyway, Celtics fans are feeling good. They think he's going to stay. So we have that. Kyrie doubled down on these comments when asked about it again, right?
And Media
also,
day, yeah.
He also even did that commercial where he's playing with his dad in the Boston Garden, He's talking about he wants his jersey up in the rafters.
Great commercial.
Great spot, right?
Yeah.
Let's start right there. He says all this. You are around the Celtics. You hear what they have to say. How good are you feeling that, hey, this guy's going to stick with us. Number 11 is going to stay with us. He's still going to be there.
It's genuine. I believe it. At the time, I did.
Oh, okay. What about now?
Yeah.
Where he's when he said, ask me July 1st, I'm like, he's out. He's gone. Right. Peace.
So,
done. Lakers.
My confidence has wavered a bit. But I still think he's going to stick around. I just think Kyrie's had it with people just assuming that all these rumors and reports are true. Because think about it. Without the what was the first thing? I don't even know where to start here. Without the Anthony Davis asking for a trade.
Mm-hmm.
This whole thing doesn't get started, right? Without the – actually, he kind of brought this on himself, but this wasn't his intention. Without him saying – that was the first thing, actually. Oh, yeah, I called LeBron James. After I called out these youngsters, I needed some advice, so let me call LeBron James. All of a sudden, what's his name? On ESPN, these talking heads are like, I'm hearing Kyrie's a little open to having a reunion in L.A. with LeBron James. I don't know.
Which Brian is
here for.
Where
did that come from? There's no concrete evidence or anything to support that report. It came out of nowhere.
As soon as he said that.
It's lazy.
As soon as Kyrie said that, I was like, yo, I think he's going to Lakers.
Come on, man.
But he's always here for the drama.
That's
Brian's
so lazy, man.
I could see that just because, he thought he could do something on his own. And he's like, you know what? Nah, I miss LeBron. All right, let me go back to LA. They need a point guard. Lonzo's not.
Legacy purposes, do you know how whack that would be for him to do something like
but
that?
But do you know how much that's going to hurt the Celtics fan?
Kyrie Irving's thinking about the Celtics fans, right? I mean, in this scenario, that's the last thing he's thinking about.
If he leaves and goes anywhere, he'd go to the Knicks. It'll hurt the Celtics fan.
I'd see him going to New York.
If he leaves and goes to the Lakers? And you're...
With Lonzo
That's
Ball,
not happening,
remember man. Lonzo Ball is barely as good as Frank Ntilikina right now, and Rajon Rondo can't stay healthy. So it's like,
it's not happening.
It makes perfect sense. They need a point guard.
He doesn't want to be Robin anymore, man. He's trying to be Batman. In Boston, he'll be Batman. Even if they were to get Anthony Davis down the road, he would still be Batman.
So you felt good about what he said then. At the time.
Yes.
Now we fast forward. You talked about the events that have happened. We've had Anthony Davis request a trade.
Yes.
We'll get to this later, and I have a lot to say about this. We have Kristaps Porzingis, who shockingly was traded. Okay? the day after Kristaps Porzingis is traded, we have the Celtics playing the Knicks because the NBA is the perfect soap opera, and it can't get any better than that. And you were at the Garden, and you were there for the morning shoot-around, correct?
I was not. You were not at the morning shoot-around. Yeah, I was really upset that I wasn't because I didn't. Yeah, the way I had it planned out, I was going to go to the game. But yeah.
everybody had the soundbite. You heard what he said.
Right. He was asked about this. He basically says he doesn't know anybody shit.
Ask me July 1st.
Yeah. Ask me July 1st. When you hear that now, you said you felt good in the beginning of the year, but how are you feeling now?
My confidence was wavered a bit that he may leave the Celtics. A little bit, but it hasn't changed much. It hasn't because this is what, okay, this is what Kyrie Irving, this is who he is. It's like, you're not going to, I don't have to answer to you. I don't have to answer to these false reports that I have nothing to do with.
Right.
Because if Anthony Davis doesn't ask for a trade, you wouldn't be asking me this. If the Knicks don't make the trade, you wouldn't be asking me this. So what, in other words, like, fuck that got to do with me? Like, that's pretty much what he's saying. You know what I mean? Nothing. Like what's his name in Friday? Fuck that got to do with me. Like, I have nothing to do with these reports. I already told you guys at the beginning of the season. Why do I have to recommit or double down on my comments?
Because we got
to
get a story, bro.
No, but see,
that's what he doesn't like. That's what Kyrie is trying to wrap his head around the media and the way things go. Because again, he's never been the Batman.
Listen, if he signs,
he's not used to this.
If he does end up going to the Knicks, it's going to be like that every day. Probably worse sometimes, especially when they're losing.
But see,
so I don't know if he don't want to deal with that. I mean,
if you can get through Boston, though. I mean, New York and Boston, which media is worse? They're like neck and neck.
I'd probably say New York.
New York might be worse. They might be a little worse because you guys haven't had a lot of success the past, what?
Let me say this.
19 years or so.
I'd probably say New York is a little bit worse. I would probably also say for New York, it also depends on the athlete.
I think so, too. But I think what is changing now is if you have that attitude of like, yo, I can't deal with this. Is I don't have to deal with this.
Exactly.
I kind of like that Kyrie's like, I don't know anybody shit.
I like it too. I like how he's unconventional.
Fans don't like it though.
Yeah. I like how he thinks.
They were not liking my article.
I also think that he could have handled that better, and he knows that. He just chose not to for whatever reason.
I don't think he cares. I kind of like that too, though.
Me too. I agree.
He doesn't care, man.
I agree.
Sometimes I'm like the person's like, yeah, I don't care if I can handle that necessarily.
I agree because I can relate.
Yo, Kyrie, when it comes to stuff like this, he brings it up. Nobody makes him answer these questions. He's always been like that.
Because you're right. He could have deflected and just said, hey, look, I said what I said at the top of the year.
Right.
I'm going to do what's best for my family. Done.
Right.
But when you say that, the media plays, there's an expectation, as you said, Osway, that he has to double down on this. And he doesn't.
He doesn't literally
owe anybody anything. Yeah. Right? He doesn't have to double down on what he said. His feelings could change. He can now say, I want to go to Knicks. I want to go to Lakers. Y'all really going to be mad for what another man wants to do with his family?
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't get me wrong. I'm also not happy that KP is not in New York anymore. We're going to get to that later.
Did the expectations for Boston kind of hurt them because of what they did last year without Kyrie Irving?
Yes, it did. 1,000%, especially with the young guys. You know, it was hard for these guys to settle into their new roles.
Because I'm wondering, because
a lot of talent on that team.
Kyrie's addition, because he was absent at the tail end of last season, is kind of like an acquisition for this season, right? Where he's here the whole year now, whatever.
Yes, but what people tend to forget, and this drives me crazy throughout the entire first 2-3 months of the season, is that the Celtics don't even get out of the first round if Kyrie Irving doesn't set you up to have home court advantage.
That's a great point.
Would have been bounced out against the Bucks. No question. That series probably wouldn't have gone 7 games if they didn't have home court.
That's a good point.
They won every single home game except for game 7 against the Cavs. They lost every single road game throughout the entire stretch of the postseason.
Good point. What I'm wondering is, with the Nets playing the way they are and they don't have a star, quote-unquote, even though D'Angelo Russell's becoming that guy, I'm wondering if they add a star and it would add expectations, would that actually be not too beneficial for them? Would that actually hurt them?
I think, and I'm speaking because of what the Celtics have done, right? I think gathering assets and having that one all-star, whatever people want to say, oh, he only got it there because of Oladipo, whatever you want to call it. But that rising star and gathering assets and then little by little seeing who will match up or who could fit in that core, who you can do without, who can you couple together and package together for, let's say, I don't know, a second option on a playoff team or a third option on a playoff team. I think little by little, that's the best way. Mm. I mean, that's what Danny did, right? He gathered a handful of picks.
You know who didn't?
He gathered
do that?
A couple of role players that pretty much would play at the end of the bench on most teams, and he grabbed Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah Thomas turns to Kyrie Irving.
Who didn't do that, Dex? Mm.
The Knicks team that plays in New York.
The Knicks, yes.
I'm not happy about that.
The Knicks constantly over and over and over again go for the big fish.
Again.
Always.
After they told
it bites them in the ass.
After they've told
now
us
we
got to
give you
it.
The floor, Dexter.
Now he's fired up. I mean, come on. It happens over and over again, and it doesn't pan out. But look, here they go again. Oh, we got cap space for two max guys. Look out, everyone. We'll see.
All right, in case you don't know what we're talking about, let's do this now.
Who doesn't know?
Let's do this now.
Who doesn't know?
Let me just give people the facts, right? So on Thursday, January 31st, this happened very quickly. I was watching the jump. I looked at my phone, and then the next thing I know, the Knicks engaged in trade discussions regarding Kristaps Porzingis, perhaps sending him to Dallas. Then I saw the Nets somewhere. Then I saw other teams and da-da-da-da, whatever. And then like 15, 30 minutes later, boom, they agreed on a deal. And Porzingis, Courtney Lee, Tim Hardaway all go to Dallas in exchange for Wesley Matthews, Dennis Smith Jr., DeAndre Jordan, and two first-round picks.
Yeah, Dallas really took that Hardaway contract, huh? That's crazy. I guess they had to, right?
Who actually think will play well for them? And what?
No, I agree, but like, man, Knicks lucked out in the sense that they got
to say
that
the reactions were mixed was an understatement. Dexter, you were not happy about losing Kristaps Porzingis. Even though.
I don't even know why I'm smiling.
Even though I laughed
through the pain.
I was laughing at first because of how quickly it all just happened. The timing to me was just hilarious.
So let me.
But I actually don't think this is a bad trade.
Here's the thing. Let me say what I'm mad about. I'm with you. I don't think it's a bad trade, right?
When you consider that he didn't want to be there.
I'm going to get into all that. Let me explain how I found out about this.
All right, you have the floor.
On Thursday, I happened to be in a Best Buy sometime around lunchtime. Maybe it was around 12:30-ish, sometime around there. And I hear one of these Best Buy workers talking about, all I hear is this, hey, yo, man, there's no way they're going to trade Kate Porzingis. He's like, but Woj just said he's unhappy. So I'm at the checkout with my coworker, and like, she's buying something. So I'm not, and I just turned and was like, I heard the Woj. The first time I thought it was some dudes talking. I'm just like,
but then whenever you hear
like,
Woj, she's like,
what
oh,
did
no.
you say? So I said to the dude, I was like, excuse me? What did you say? Woj said what? So I just pull out the phone. I'm like, oh, okay. So now I see the alerts, and I see a text from Brian. And a couple of people.
The text read LMFAO with
yes,
a lot of O's.
That's it. Ryan's
like,
just
he
gonna
like
laugh.
Five unread messages.
Other people are like, yo, man, they're gonna trade KP, they're gonna do that. And I'm like, what is going on? So I read the report and I'm talking to this dude, and he's like, yeah, man, KP's not happy. And I'm like, oh, this is might be some posturing to make sure they do what they want to do, whatever. I'm working, so I don't check my phone. Mm-hmm. For a probably about was maybe two. It's happened very quickly.
You stopped thinking about it too. You're like,
I was like, this ain't gonna mess up my day. Though it ended up doing that. I was like, this ain't gonna mess up my day. I'm not gonna think about it. Then I see it happens, and they make this deal. And here's the reason I'm upset. And this goes to something you were saying, Josue. The Knicks sold us, and I don't know why I accepted any of this. I don't know why I bought any of this, because this has been an abusive relationship that I've had with this team since I was about 7 years old. They sold us that, hey, we're going to do things differently. Mm-hmm. We're going to break this down. We're going to develop the young players. And the one thing the Knicks had going for them was they had a young star. Mm-hmm. They had a guy who was already probably a top 25 player in this league by what he showed last year. 7'3", moves well out the ball. He was injured, had the ACL tear, but ACL tears aren't what they used to be. Mm-hmm. People have been bouncing back from him. The only concern is you haven't seen somebody bounce back from it at his height. But Porzingis was an all-star last year. An all-star, guys, who's 23. Who's somebody who I wanted him to take right. the year they drafted him. Okay? You got all this, and you say bye to this. Now you're telling me that you're trading this for cap space. Oh, there's another way you can look at it. Reports come out, and people I've talked to who cover the Knicks, and some people around it, it's true. It's legit. He did not want to be there.
I don't understand that, though. When I hear the reports of that, he didn't like the direction of where the team was going. Why not just sit and wait for the offseason and see who they're going to come up with? Like, the cap space is already there.
The cap space? At least they could have got one max free agent.
Right, at least one.
And they still had some other moves they needed to make. and see who they're going to draft. When that's the only question I'd love to ask Porzingis. I'd love to be at that press conference with the Mavericks and be like, you did not like the direction Knicks were going in. Based on what?
People think that he's getting bad advice from his brother.
Maybe. Maybe that's possible. And they've kind of handled New York since coming here in a diva-ish kind of way. No doubt about that.
But can you imagine, though, in the best case scenario, let's say they get the number one pick. Let's say they get Zion. Let's say Kevin Durant says, you know what? I'm going to start a new chapter in New York.
Bruh.
That's a legit squad.
Bruh.
That's a
if the Knicks had Zion, Kristaps, Kevin Knox, I would be – I told Brian, you wouldn't even see me this summer. I'd be
without the
ring, somewhere.
You're good. You're good with that.
I'd be excited.
But now
– am I excited today?
Yeah.
No. No.
That's what I want to know.
No, I'm not excited. You know why I'm not excited? Cap space doesn't excite me. Hey, I'm a Knicks fan. Does anybody remember 2010?
That's what I was saying.
We have room.
Everyone is saying that they're going to get – Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant,
they better
Zion Williamson.
Well, that's the direction now. That has to be the direction.
Better.
Right.
That's the plan.
And they're probably going to wind up with Jimmy Butler.
First of all, Zion Williamson is no guarantee. And no disrespect to Jimmy Butler, if you make a move like this where you give up a all-star who's 23, and I'm going to say something here. I don't care if he didn't want to be there. You got to play that out because you got control. You know what good organizations do? Good organizations, when they're disgruntled or the star's disgruntled, they still talk to that person to make it work. I guarantee you somebody in the Celtics yesterday put their arm around Kyrie and was like, hey, bro, we heard you say that, you know, you got to wait till July 1st. We don't want to wait till July 1st. We want to talk to you and see how we can smooth this over. I guarantee you they're trying to smooth it over now.
They have to be, yeah.
The Knicks had a five-minute meeting with KP and said, and then 2 hours later they're going to trade you? What?
What happened in this meeting?
How bad was a meeting that we have a difference of opinion that is like, it's less than 5 minutes? And the people I'm talking to are saying this is legit.
Yeah, but he was salty at the end of last year, though. He skipped out on his exit interview, didn't he? Didn't he, like, go to the island or something? He was supposed to have an exit interview with the Knicks, and he was like, nah, I'm good.
And he dissed Phil Jackson, too.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I understand the dysfunction.
He was, like, Phil, shit.
The whole Phil stuff, I understand why he was salty there, and I didn't mind his play then.
Yeah.
But Kristaps, not that he has to really answer to us, but I would like to know why.
Well, he said on Instagram the next morning that the truth will come out.
That's
with
corny.
A smiley face.
I'm sorry. You know,
then
I think
he deleted
all
it.
All that, and then he deleted it.
Shut
that's
up.
Corny.
He did that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't know about this?
No.
Yeah.
It was in the morning. I had woke up. It was already off. But then I found out about it on social media because once you put it out there, it's getting screenshotted. It's going to Deadspin. It's going to SB Nation.
Well, I want the truth to come out.
These guys is drooling over Kyrie, man. That's what it was.
I want the truth to come out.
Your squad is drooling over Kyrie to pair him with Durant.
Here's the thing about this. If you make this move and give up a guy of Kristaps' talent, you better bring back an A-lister. Jimmy Butler ain't going to cut it, bro.
Actually, more than one, because what they're selling now is a cap space, and they're selling two max slots.
Who has this
That's
worked
what I'm
for?
Saying.
This is the thing we have to understand in the NBA, and this is the whole narrative about how all this stuff with Anthony Davis requesting a trade, stars want to go to big markets. It's not true.
Right.
Kristaps Porzingis just left New York because he's like, y'all are dysfunctional. Now, the Knicks have been dysfunctional to some degree for a long time, about two decades. I actually have liked what they've done in the last year until now, because you told me you were going to develop young talent. Yeah. And now it appears like maybe because KP wasn't happy there, I still need to know more about that. But it appears like, and what you're saying, Brian, they're going for cap space.
Did you see what Bobby Marks said on ESPN?
No.
His little breakdown? You're going to hate this. So they were talking about them potentially getting Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant free agency, and then packaging Kevin Knox, Mitchell Robinson, the first overall pick, whoever else, to get Anthony Davis and have those three. And then fill out the roster with probably minimum guys and a mid-level exception. That might be their grandmaster.
Wait. You would hate that?
No, I wouldn't hate it. But here's the thing. You have to do it.
Yeah.
I don't love that plan. You know why I don't love that plan? Because there's way too many ifs.
Who's going to sign? Who's going to sign? Who are you going to get for 10 minimum contracts?
I mean,
like, honestly.
I mean, even.
Maybe not 10. Wait, 10? Nah, it has
what
to be
you,
less than that.
What you have
I'm
to,
just exaggerating.
What you have to look
right?
at is.
But look what the Heat did. Remember
but
that?
The problem was they got all three of those guys to come at the same time.
Yeah, but then.
Well, I'm talking about those minimal contracts.
Oh, yeah.
They just signed whoever. They're like, yo, who wants to play for Miami? They all just came in.
Oh, I think you can get guys to play.
I also think that's a little different because they have LeBron.
Yeah.
I think having KD.
I don't know, though. If you got Durant and Anthony Davis, though.
I don't know if any of those guys are going to be healthy for, like, the years to come. I just want to put that out there.
You don't know. I mean, you never know.
For the next 4 years, I'm taking Kemba Walker over Kyrie Irving. That's just me personally.
Interesting. I'm a Kemba guy too.
I like Kemba too. But that's me personally.
He's gonna be.
He's been surprisingly durable.
But he'll be out too. He's not gonna finish strong.
If the Knicks could get those three, could it be exciting? Yes. But here's the thing: we've never seen anybody do it with three free agents outside of the Heat, right?
And somebody was already there.
No, Wade was already there. Wade was already there. You've actually never seen. Yeah.
And that's my point. Yeah. You have to get these guys to be already there. And here's the other thing. Okay. That thing that Bobby Marks said. Here's the thing I think it's not going to... We're going to get to this with the AD thing. Who's beating the Celtics offer? That Knicks offer is not beating what the Celtics can offer. It's not. If I'm the Pelicans and the Knicks offer what you just said, Mitchell Robinson, Knox... Who else did you say?
It was Mitchell Robinson, Knox.
Ntilikina.
I'm going to see, and
this year's first?
Who's topping Tatum? Put it that way.
That's what nobody
right,
is.
Right, right. Yeah. right.
At the end of the day, you have to answer that question. And who's topping Tatum?
Which is why the Pelicans should be waiting and doing what they should do, because Boston has the best offense. Nobody can
It's in their best interest to wait.
Absolutely. Yeah. So let me just to wrap this up. I'm very upset with the Knicks because I feel like we've been hoodwinked. But I've been hoodwinked before.
Bamboozled,
I've been
bamboozled led astray, before. Run amok.
Yeah.
every past 5 years, you can use one of those
Yeah,
terms.
this has happened before. So why am I rooting for this team? You know what? You know who I like? I'm a KP fan. And you know who I like who he's going to play with right now?
Luka Doncic.
I like Luka Doncic. I love
Luka Doncic down in Dallas. I might be taking my fandom to the Mavericks. This might be happening.
You're going to have a Mavericks jersey on this summer.
I might. I'm mad I even bought my daughter a KP jersey.
Oh, man. When did you buy that?
It was actually gifted to her. It wasn't me who bought it, but this was...
okay, then that's fine.
This was when she was about one, about 2 years ago.
It wasn't recent, then. You can't, and I told somebody this who has a KP jersey on Thursday, you can't get jerseys of current players. You can't do that because guys move around way too much
But you know what?
You have to get legends. You know what? You have to get, like, Allen Houston.
They sold me. When he was drafted, I thought he's the best young player we had since Patrick Ewing.
Did you like him from the beginning when the pick happened?
Yes.
Really?
Definitely.
I'll never forget Stephen A's reaction. Remember what Stephen A. Smith said?
Yeah.
He was
and a lot of people were wrong.
Spaz.
Just like a lot of people were wrong.
But you know what it is? People fear the unknown, which also brings me to, let me say this. What if this is crazy enough to work? What if this is crazy enough because, like, oh, we've never seen it before. There's no precedent for getting... For
then
doing what the Knicks
I
are trying
will,
to do,
then I
somebody
will,
has to try it.
I agree with that. I will laud the front office, and I will say they probably got some back channel information.
Which they should have.
If this is
it would be irresponsible to do this without some sort of information.
I'd have to think that these dudes know something. I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt here.
But let me
if they knew something and they pulled this off and they get two guys here and... What am I going to say?
Let me say this, though. It kind of depends on what else happens.
Well, they write two guys. So
yeah. It depends on what else happens.
Well, you got a lot of options, though.
But
it's not just about KD. You got Kemba Walker.
Right, but it
Kawhi,
depends on
Jimmy,
Klay Thompson. Clay. And then you go down the line, and it's not as great. But, like, when you go and look at what everybody else can do, where is that going to leave them if they do get Kyrie and Kevin Durant? You know what I mean? Because what if the Nets add Kawhi Leonard, which is possible? Or what if the Celtics add Anthony Davis, which is also possible despite what his dad might have said? You know, like...
I mean, I think you have to do the best that you can do in any offseason and then take where it goes from there. That's all you can do.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, I don't... Because I think what... I think your fellow Knicks fans think that this is going to work and then they're going to win a championship right away. It's like, Golden State's still going to kind of be there even without Kevin
Here's
Durant.
Here's the thing. I'm not as upset. I'm upset about because I think the Knicks should have probably took KP's bluff a little bit more. Mm. You have a guy you can control. I think you say, you know, nobody, you know what nobody's ever done? Mm. Talk about things people don't. Nobody's ever turned down the rookie extension yet. No rookie's ever turned down that money because it's too much for them to turn down, right? I call his bluff, even if you got him to a shorter deal, 2-3 year deal, and extended him. I don't think you give up a guy that good with that skill set.
But then what about the Rose Rule?
But remember, I did say that
you got the Rose Rule. That's the thing.
True.
Yeah, I think they're drooling over Anthony Davis. They're drooling over Kyrie Irving.
I'm also concerned about his injury history going forward, though. But I said that recently.
You said that before. That's
about
all of that is fair.
So that's why I'm like, I don't know if this is the worst thing in the world.
It's not the worst thing in the world.
If he, in fact, wanted to be out. But it does put him in a position where they have to deliver.
Yes.
And they might. And then at the same time, there's still a bunch of questions, even if you do deliver two max free agents, because who's going to play on your bench? You know what I mean? Like, the Heat were able to be smart enough to get a bunch of shooters like Mike Miller, like Eddie House, and guys like that, and they made it work. They even lost the first year they went to the championship.
I actually don't worry. I don't worry as much because the Knicks will still have some young players if they had those two under friendly contracts. I don't worry as much about the guys being able to come there. When you put in those two kind of players there, people are going to want to come. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not as worried about that.
In more ways than one.
I think yes. It has – at this point, though, I think it really boils down to Kyrie Irving. Because if you don't get – if you don't get Kyrie Irving to sign, no one else is coming. Yeah, I missed that.
No, he just was being mature.
Yeah, I figured. Yeah,
I don't want to say.
I'll listen to it.
But you're talking about Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, because if you don't get Kyrie Irving, you're not going to get Durant. And then the Anthony Davis thing, that's a huge gamble because you have to have that pick ready. If you don't have a top two pick.
And where are you picking?
New Orleans is going to be like, what do you got for us?
Yeah.
You know,
look.
What if and here's the thing? What if the Knicks don't get Zion Williamson? What if
right?
You know, they.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you don't get the number one pick, then New Orleans is like, I don't even need to talk to you guys. What else do you have to offer?
What if they do like they usually do and win games down the stretch? Because remember, they have during the first. This was recently, but during the first, I want to say 50 or so games of the season, they had the least amount of home games played in the NBA, along with the Atlanta Hawks at 21. Coming up, they got a lot of those bad teams at home. They're gonna win some games down the stretch. They might win enough to be.
Don't say that.
They might win enough to be the fourth overall pick, and you're probably gonna miss out on Zion, RJ, and Ja Morant.
You better take a page out of the old Celtics and sit DeAndre Jordan, sit all of them.
I say buy him out. I don't even want to see.
Buy him out.
Buy him out.
And you know what sucks?
Wes Matthews, buy him out.
I actually said this today, though. I was like, yo, Wes Matthews is someone that could actually be useful going forward to come off their bench if they were to keep him. However, and obviously he's not going to make as much money as he is now. Mm-hmm. However, you don't want to win games. Same thing with DeAndre Jordan.
I would think
that
out.
With DeAndre Jordan, it might be beneficial for Mitchell Robinson to watch him play. And learn some defensive principles.
Well, what if they strike out on those free agents? You might end up having to pay DeAndre Jordan some dough because that could have very much happened. We've seen this chapter before. We've seen this movie before.
And here's the thing in terms of free agency.
It's just a risky
How
move.
Attractive are they with a complete blank slate?
Right.
Like, great. Exactly. New York market, whatever, whatever. Right. People are still saying, oh, there's cachet and things like that. But I repeatedly tell this to Jamal Murphy and Darrell. I tell them to this all the time. I'm like, look, players increasingly do not care about market size to that degree.
That's been shown.
They don't care about market size.
I think
they care about money, which the Knicks do have. They care about that because now they have the space to make that happen. But they also care about organizational structure, who's on the team, who are the young players.
Playing with their buddies.
Lakers have LeBron. That's their selling chip. Come play with LeBron.
They're also the Lakers. What you're saying
which
is
helps.
What you're saying
but
is
the Knicks don't have the Knicks are the Knicks, but they don't have a history of winning. They have the worst record in the NBA this century.
Here's the thing. The market size only is a sweetener. Mm. It's a sweetener to what you already have. The first thing you mentioned is the biggest thing. Look, the Celtics are the Celtics, right? It's not like Boston's been this big free agent destination, but they have the cachet of this. They have all the banners and the championships. Right. The Lakers, probably more of a sexy destination. They have the banners too, right? But you need organizational structure. Mm-hmm. The people in the front office have to be good at their job, okay? A lot of people weren't trying to come to L.A. the last couple of years, right? Who's been trying to knock down the door to get there? LaMarcus Aldridge turned them down. Where did he go? Mm. San Antonio.
Paul George didn't go there?
Right. It's not like a lot of people are dying to live in San Antonio. No disrespect to San Antonio.
Yeah.
A lot of people aren't dying to live in Oklahoma City. No disrespect to Oklahoma City either.
And then look what Paul George did. Everyone assumed he was going to go to L.A.
LaMarcus Aldridge went to the Spurs. Pau Gasol went to the Spurs.
So Brian's point is right in that what matters is organizational competence. Mm. Now, Brian brought up the question, why is anybody going to want to come here? See, that's my question about this whole thing with the cap space. You might want to attract Durant, Irving, whoever, and maybe they want to play here.
They might agree to come together.
They might, right. And I think that's a whole big if that's what this is.
And you need at least one of them just to say,
The Knicks have to sell anybody on wanting to come here? Oh, you want to come here and play with Frank Ntilikina? That doesn't get me excited. You want to come here and play with Kevin Knox? That's not getting me excited. And if I'm a player, I'm like, yo, you just had a young all-star who said he didn't want to be here. That matters too.
Yeah. That matters too.
Let's not act like that doesn't matter.
Look at the reactions with Joel Embiid typing LOL after the trade happened and other guys being like, wow, and Kevin Knox putting the scared emoji, your own young rookie who's supposed
to
be a star
like,
in the future.
This star who was balling last year didn't want to be here. How's that look to Kevin Durant? Kevin Durant's like, what's going on here? I'm going to question what's going on here. Then you got the Knicks front office and their media team coming out and banning reporters from being on a conference call.
Here's another thing. I still think it's entirely possible that Kevin Durant stays in Golden State, and to appease him, they trade Draymond Green. So what if he doesn't hit the free agency market at all?
There's a lot of ifs. You know.
And to Josue's point, yeah. Kyrie might stay in Boston.
But yeah. You know what I did know? That KP was 23, an all-star. Y'all had him under control, and y'all let him go. I'm done here.
A new daily fantasy app for prop bets is here, and it's called Thrive Fantasy. Forget the old-school way of DFS. Thrive Fantasy has streamlined the drafting process and eliminated the need to do unnecessary hours of research by using only top-tier athletes. That means no more salary cap. You just build your lineup around a list of prop bets. Here's how it works. For each contest, you choose 10 of the 20 prop bets, plus two ice picks that protect you from any late scratches or postponed games. Each unique prop has an over and under point value assigned to it, and you will be rewarded that value if the prop is correct. So for example, if Tom Brady throws for over or under 250 yards, the less likely the prop is to occur, the more points the choice will be worth. You build your team score around the amount of correct prop bets you select. It's easy to play, so just check out the Thrive Fantasy link in the description of this podcast and get in the game with Thrive Fantasy today.
The Celtics know that they have all the trade chips to get Anthony Davis. But the big thing is, will the Lakers, which everybody thinks is where Anthony Davis wants to go, will they be aggressive
obviously
before the deadline?
Rich Paul.
Do you think the Celtics get Anthony Davis eventually? It has to happen after July 1st, but do you think they eventually get him?
I think they do, but
you think they should?
I think they should. Yes. My fear is that a team is just going to swoop in before the deadline. That could happen. A team that is just willing to risk it all. Because think about it. We talk about someone like Paul George, who people are like, oh, I don't know, Oklahoma City, you're getting this guy for a rental, you gave up all this and that. What happened? He stuck around. You know, guys in the past, we'll see what happens with Kawhi. I still think Kawhi might stay in Toronto. Toronto has a really good shot to not only compete, but they could knock off the Celtics this year. I do think they're that talented.
Yeah.
You can look at their track record throughout the postseason the last couple of years. That team is completely different to what they have now. Kawhi Leonard's a top five guy.
The defense is
at another level than we've seen before in the last couple of years.
What teams have enough to get Anthony Davis off the top of your head?
The top of my head, the only interesting team to me, and people are going to think I'm crazy with this one, but I don't know. You never know. Depending how New Orleans feels about this package deal, is Denver. Denver's interesting.
All right, they are. I've heard.
Very interesting.
I think it would take some combination of Jamal Murray,
Harris. Murray would be sort of the promising selling point of this package deal.
They'd probably
20 point
to go,
score
they, yep.
on the up and up. You got you have to throw in Paul Millsap for contract purposes.
Yep.
I think.
And they got picks.
And they have the rookie, Porter. Porter Jr.
That's not a bad trade.
A bad package.
I think the Nets could assemble a package, but I just wouldn't do it personally if I were them.
Who's your centerpiece? D'Angelo Russell?
It
would have to be him or Karras.
I don't know.
That's what I'm saying.
Karras.
I wouldn't do it.
Yeah,
it would have
so.
But
if I'm New Orleans, it's like, yo, it starts at Karras LeVert, Jared Allen, and at least a pick. Because they're probably going to have to give you Allen Crabbe to make the salaries match. And it's like, if I'm taking back Allen Crabbe, I'm going to need multiple first-round picks.
Right. But here's the thing. Those teams that might be willing to go for it, like you're saying, Josue.
Yeah, but I don't know if Denver has the sack to do it, though.
You know what? You got.
I hope not. I saw them kill
Houston.
What
if Toronto did it? Toronto's showing to go for it. What if they said Pascal Siakam,
Valanciunas? See, that's the thing. You just throw a bunch of
OG
bigs
Ananobi
at them. And it's like, is that what they really want? I mean, they do obviously want a big to replace Anthony Davis,
New Orleans,
I feel like they're looking
for
that one promising guy who can turn into maybe not a superstar, but like a perennial all-star. And with Denver, you had that. At least depending on how you feel about Jamal Murray.
They don't have a lot of leverage, though, New Orleans. They don't have a lot of leverage.
No, which is why they're better off waiting. But how they feel about this Denver package that we just talked about, you know, it could happen.
I don't know how much you could wait just because. Wait for Boston, sure, if you wait till the summer.
Waiting for Boston is the thing that makes sense, but here's the only thing that can change that, and this is kind of what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
What if AD comes out and says publicly, yo, I want to be traded to the Lakers? If he says that, then that changes everything.
Yeah.
Because now those other teams that Josue was mentioning that might want to take a chance and rent him and see if they can convince him to stay, might be like, well, we're not going to give up all this when we know he wants to go to Lakers anyway. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Portland's another team I just thought of, too.
I'm saying that everything you're saying makes sense, but I was like, what if he throws this
even if the deadline comes and goes and he says that about L.A.? Yeah, that could happen.
Yeah, right? You see what I'm saying?
Rich Paul knows what he's doing, man. This whole thing is orchestrated.
The Bachelor,
I said, remember I said that when we had Howard Beck up here?
Real talk.
I said
that it's crazy.
As soon as he hired Rich Paul, I'm like, he's going to Lakers.
He's even got Kyrie, he got Kyrie Irving spazzing. Like, this is all orchestrated, man. Everybody's looking shaky right now. Boss is looking shaky. The franchise, everyone. I mean, I don't mean like the personnel of the franchise, but Celtics fans are they're nervous right now. They're really nervous all because of these reports, all set in place, orchestrated by Rich Paul.
It sucks because the Lakers package is really not that attractive.
Did you see?
It's not. There's nothing they could do to fix that.
Did you see what the Lakers offered?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm gonna put it up right now. I'll put it up right now.
That's the best
they
can do.
But it is the best. I mean, unless they want to start throwing in more picks.
Look, Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma, Rajon Rondo, Michael Beasley, and a first round pick. Listen, man.
They didn't even put Brandon Ingram in there.
I already have. If I'm New Orleans, I have Elfrid Payton and I have Jrue Holiday. Why the hell would I want Lonzo Ball and Rajon Rondo?
Well, because Lonzo Ball is better than Elfrid Payton. That's not even close.
You think he's better than Elfrid Payton
right now? Yes. Yes, he's better than Elfrid Payton.
I still have Jrue Holiday, though.
Under
max salary.
But Jrue Holiday can play off the ball.
I think the Lakers could trade for...
Yeah, Jrue could be the two.
Lonzo is already a good defender. And a very good passer and rebounder for his size. He's not shooting the ball well, but he does those other three things.
But he's an awful shooter.
He's such a triple doubles.
Like, he's not the shooting. He's not
shooting the ball
well. So is
Jason Kidd when he started his career.
He's shooting 40% on free throws.
That bothers me.
That's a really good point, though. Jason Kidd was a terrible shooter.
Yeah, so
but then by the end of the
season, I don't get caught up in these guys. I don't get caught up in these guys who can't shoot as well earlier. If he does other things at a high level, I like that.
Is he really better than Frank Ntilikina? Honestly.
Right now... better passer and he could get into the lane better than Ntilikina, so I'll say yeah.
You know what's funny? I just thought of this right now. Actually, I was thinking about this yesterday. You just brought it up by bringing his name up. The Knicks trade for Dennis Smith Jr., and I remember going into that draft, I was like, that's the guy you guys should have picked all along.
I didn't like Dennis Smith Jr.
Really?
Nah.
So you like that pick?
I like that pick of Ntilikina.
Really?
And I still think Ntilikina is going to be okay. I think people get still too worried about the shot.
Oh, man.
He does not... shown Brian knows I'm down on what he's done this year because he hasn't shown me the ability to get into the paint. Ntilikina's already an elite defender. He can defend really good.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Smith could turn that corner. Here's the thing. You can say the same thing about a lot of guys. In that draft, there's a lot of guys that wait till year three, year four, they're going to start to flourish. And I think he's one of those guys. And
we're seeing that now with D'Angelo Russell, Justice Winslow, and
before the draft, I could just see him. Like him in a Knicks jersey, everyone going nuts, that score first type of point guard. And it's just funny to me. I could pull up my mock draft now. And
I hope you're right.
The Knicks pick.
He's on the team, and I still.
Dennis Smith Jr.
He's on the team, and I still am kind of rooting for the Knicks. So I will say, I hope you're right.
He's going to do well. He's going to do well. Watch. You see. He's going to do well.
But let me ask you something about Frank Ntilikina. $6.2 million team option for 2020 and 2021, which they're going to have to make a decision on prior to next season.
Yeah. I don't think it's getting picked up.
Me
not
neither.
The way it's played right now.
Me neither.
This is unless one thing, especially they want to keep flexibility. Unless he plays in summer league and has this really good summer league where you see some change in aggressiveness, and I wouldn't put too much stock into that.
Or the rest of the season.
Yeah, but he needs to show and prove. The end of the season is very important for him.
You don't want your lottery pick to be in summer league in his third season.
I was going to say, is he going to the summer league again?
He has to, and you got to play him as shooting guard and be like, yo, you're attacking or we're not picking up your options.
Who's good in the G League? I heard you guys have like the best G League team right now. Like, you guys like the Warriors of the G League.
Don't say that to me, man. Don't say that.
Shout out Philip Carr.
Come on, man. If you're gonna fill out this bench with guys, you got to know somebody's gonna get moved up, right? If you're gonna go get Durant and Kyrie, you got to have somebody.
Isaiah Hicks is your other two way. Kadeem Allen's your two way that's playing now.
Oh, Kadeem
and Isaiah Hicks.
I like Kadeem.
Isaiah Hicks, former Celtic, right?
That's right.
Yeah. And Isaiah Hicks is there. Jameel Warney's on that team.
Are we really are we talking about the G League right now? Stop it, man. Stop.
Steven Zimmerman, former second-round pick of the Orlando Magic.
Stop. Stop. Let's just stop this right now.
Y'all got in the media section, y'all got these little monitors. And yes, we do.
It plays the G League. The Westchester Knicks? Yeah. You dying to go do some Westchester Knicks coverage, Josue?
At some point throughout that game, I was like, "Oh, this team's not bad. Check these guys."
I think the Celtics need AD. You think they will get him?
I think they will get him. And if they don't, if they strike out, if Papa Anthony Davis is just like, "No, son, you ain't going there. You're better than that. Go to LA. Listen to your dad."
I don't think it's the end of the world.
I don't think it's the end of the world for the Celtics. I still think the Celtics will compete. I mean, you still got Jason Tatum.
They still have depth, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, like Jason Tatum is the one piece that New Orleans can say to everyone else, who's your Tatum in this deal?
What do you
because
think?
Because Boston's willing to give me Tatum. And look, it's not going to be that easy. People always describe trying to make a deal with Danny Ainge just like pulling teeth.
That's what I was going to say.
But at the end of the day, if it comes down to Tatum, you know,
it's go time. Danny Ainge
will trade his mom for Anthony Davis, man. What? That's how he is. Yo, he does not care.
Look, but sometimes when you need to win championships, your mom got to go. But look, here's the thing.
Yo. See how you feel about your mom.
I'm joking.
We need to pull that out for Mother's Day. Mother's Day episode. Yeah, you got to do that.
Play that drop.
Yeah, we will.
I'm coming from the guy who once said family's overrated on this podcast.
Some
I don't have much
members
of,
in your
I don't
family
have much,
are overrated.
Yeah, yeah, some members. I don't have much of a leg to stand on in this one.
You don't.
I hope none of y'all listen
to
this.
Let me ask y'all this, though.
Love you guys.
If y'all were Danny Ainge, would you trade Tatum for Anthony Davis?
Absolutely. Yeah. You've been holding all these assets for this moment. Exactly. And I think if you can land Anthony Davis after July 1st, you know who's going to stay? Kyrie Irving.
Absolutely.
Because they're supposedly tight. So, yeah.
Yeah,
go
Anthony
ahead,
Davis is Anthony Davis now. We don't know where Jason Tatum's going to be.
That's true.
As Gerard always likes
right.
to say.
Right. That's different than trading a young talent for cap space, right. and you don't know what that's going to do. Right. But some organizations like to do that. Knicks.
How do you?
and also, I want to add this, too. For the people out there who are saying, oh, Anthony Davis could be a rental. He could just up and leave. That's not going to happen, man. Once he gets a taste of Boston, once he gets a taste of the fandom, once he gets a taste of playing at TD Garden, part of the home team, it's not happening, man.
I mean, but Kyrie Irving might leave, though. So
not if Anthony Davis is coming.
Well, right. Maybe, yeah. But let me say this. How do you feel about the whole Isaiah Thomas situation still sort of carrying weight and being into the light now? Because I feel like players do look at loyalty as one of those factors in free agency and things we were talking about. Mm-hmm. If the organization is going to show its players loyalty. And people are sort of sour on that Isaiah Thomas situation still.
It surprises me up until this point that they're still like that because look how both sides panned out. I mean, looking back on it, who can sit there and honestly say that Celtics made a wrong move?
But do you still think it's going to affect them? Like, in future transactions with Anthony Davis potentially, with Kyrie Irving's free agency pending?
I really don't think so. I don't. I just think a lot of these guys nowadays, they want to play with their guys. They want to win. And at the end of the day, they look at that and say, man, that was an unfortunate situation, but that's not going to happen to me. You know
I wonder how everyone, these
NBA players are so gassed and they're so, you know, full of themselves that they're just – in their mind, they're like, "Yeah, that's a shitty situation for him, but I'm too good to be traded, you know." So I don't think it'll affect him.
I wonder how much of it is more that he got traded, or is the fact that he played while hurt.
Yeah, I think that's the messed up thing, right?
I think
that's the messed up thing that people are looking at because they're like, "Man, something's new a lot more than Cleveland did."
Uh huh.
And then Cleveland, remember they held up the deal. They throw in the Celtics threw in like a 28 second round pick. They're like, "All right, we got a deal now." And it's like, "That's all it took, really?" Like that's because you know Isaiah is not going to be at 100% never. And then look how everything else panned out. It was just, man, yo, Danny's undefeated. Danny is undefeated. When has he lost a trade? Besides his first couple of years when he was just trying to figure things out. I mean, he's undefeated right now.
I don't remember losing no trades.
He's undefeated.
He's undefeated right now. I still would
this is
like,
his toughest pull right here.
Right
Anthony
here,
Davis.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I was going
to
say. This is
but
tough.
It's
and
the
I still want
to
see. I also still want to see if how the Nets trade continues to play out. Because now you're looking at what they got in that trade, and
wait,
it doesn't look too bad.
Wait, hold on.
In terms of the first round picks.
Well, I mean, the Nets did some good stuff with their first-round picks, getting it for late picks. But let me tell you something. Ain't nothing good about pick swapping all those years that they were.
Wait, you talking about the Paul Pierce and KG trade?
Yes. Because when you really look at it, like, all right, let me ask you something.
Are you trying to say that there's a chance the Nets could win that trade?
If you look back on it years from now, right, and we have to see where both teams are, but we're at a point now where Kyrie Irving could leave. For all intents and purposes, what if Kyrie Irving leaves?
That doesn't give the Nets a win.
Hold on. Kyrie Irving leaves. You're not letting me finish. Kyrie Irving leaves. They don't get Anthony Davis, right? And the Nets end up getting a free agent because they could. They have the space for it. They're going to be able to maneuver and do that. The Nets could be a better team next season.
Doesn't mean they want to trade.
And because of that trade, they had to get – they pick swapped in 2017.
Yep.
They got Jared Allen. I know Boston got Jason Tatum. Well, they got Markelle Fultz and they traded him. Stupid Philadelphia.
Yeah, again, Danny Ainge not losing. Yeah.
But the Nets did get Jared Allen.
Another win for him.
The Nets did get Jared Allen.
But Jared Allen's not Jason
A product
Tatum.
Of that trade is also them getting Caris LeVert. Not directly because they had to steal Thaddeus Young. But if you're going 2016 picks, Caris LeVert, Jalen Brown.
I see what you're saying.
I think Caris LeVert's a better player. Boston. You know, in 2018, the pick that they gave up ended up being Colin Sexton. They ended up getting Caruks. In the second round, who's going to be in the Rising Stars Challenge?
Who looks good, but I'm not going to go crazy on him yet.
He's starting already. What I'm saying is like...
I had to look through my program about him. That's true. I had to do some digging.
I think what you need to say is the Nets have done a good job in their homework and being a recovering.
They've done the best job they could have done in recovering from that trade.
They did.
Because they're still supposed to be... They're supposed to be right now where the Atlanta Hawks are. They're supposed to be terrible. Actually, Atlanta's not terrible.
But here's a couple things. Here's a couple things they did that matter in that is that they took risks. They took on contracts like Damari Carroll. They acquired extra first round picks. Mm. They did things like that. They used unconventional methods. They had to do like kind of
the D'Angelo Russell trade was solid.
Do I need to remind you what?
Yes, that's another one.
Do I need to remind you what they got in return for Damari Carroll? I mean, what they got in that Damari Carroll deal? They traded Justin Hamilton.
Right.
Got Damari Carroll, a first-round pick, and a second-round pick.
But here's the thing. You have to acknowledge that they made other good moves. They got handed a knockout blow, a crippling blow that hindered their organizations because they hitched themselves to these older players. And the new front office that came in, because that's an old front office, the new front office that came in has done a fantastic job of doing all these little moves to get them to the point
In so little time. Yeah.
In such a little time. Right. And you got to give them credit for drafting competent players in the mid to late first round.
Who wins in a fight between Sean Marks and Danny Ainge?
Sean Marks.
Of course, this comes back to violence. Yeah, I'll put my money.
That's what I wanted to get to.
Nah, Danny's swinging and running. He's not sticking around.
No, didn't he fight? What's his name? He had an NBA fight before.
Yeah, he must have been running. And hiding behind.
Are we
McKay
talking?
Yes, that one.
When he hit dude in the face in the inbound play. When he was with Phoenix,
there was a couple.
Yeah,
I think there was a couple.
Phoenix where he got.
Danny Ainge got down. Sean Marks is just 7 feet, but not all 7 footers. Yeah. You know. But he also is from New Zealand. He's from New Zealand. So.
Before we get out of here.
Same place as Israel Adesanya. They bang out there.
Yes, they do. we got to get into some hip-hop before we get out of here.
Let's do it.
What are you listening to today, man? I see you got the Kitsy Ghost.
I mean, that's...
Kid Cudi Kanye.
Yeah, I've been bumping that a little bit. Actually, on the way over here, I was listening to Common. Some not old Common.
Oh, you're trying to mellow out?
Yeah. You know, I had a nice ride on the subway.
I assumed you were listening to B.
I was.
That's Common's best album.
Yes, I was, yes.
That's a classic album.
You mellow out when you listen to that album. You don't get hype.
Yeah.
You get hype when you listen to Finding Forever.
Which is not as good as
that. Well, it's funny. I listened to the entire B album, which I started at Madison Square Garden last night.
R.I.P. Kanye West. Off,
and then I went to, what is it, Dreamer the Believer? Oh, I'm probably getting that wrong.
The Dreamer the Believer. After Finding.
Oh, I like that.
No,
after Finding Forever.
Is that the one with Blue Sky?
Yes.
No, that's actually after Universal Mind Control.
That was one in between. Yeah, you're right.
One of Dexter's all-time great Instagram posts was the first one after the birth of his daughter, where he used a quote from Blue
from
Sky.
It was not from Blue Sky.
From Blue Sky.
It was from the intro from the B.
Yes.
Waiting for the Lord to rise and look into my daughter's eyes and realize I'm going to change
the
world.
He said that in
Blue
Sky also.
No, he didn't.
I swear he did.
No, he did not.
He did not. Wait, really?
No, he did not. I'm ashamed of you.
I'm getting my Common songs, man.
But who else?
I'm going to look up the lyrics while you continue to talk about Common.
I'm a huge Kendrick guy. J. Cole.
Yeah, me too.
Who else? I like, who's I listening to? He just dropped the EP. Damn, drawing a blank right now. Bick. I like Vic Mensa.
Yeah, I haven't listened to that EP.
It's good. Hooligans. It grew on me.
No, he said something else about Ice. But it was close.
No, not even close.
He's like, I don't even know why you looked that up.
I'm glad you appreciated that Instagram post, though. I do appreciate that.
I mean, Blue Sky would have made sense.
As soon as you said that about the birthday doll, I knew exactly the B intro. Like,
yeah, I'm not somebody to really post lyrics or quotes all the time, but I had like listened to it. I was listening to the album the day before my daughter was born, and it was really in my head, and I was just like, I had this picture.
Meant to be.
I'm holding her, and I was like, oh, it's like dope. So
that's what's up.
Yeah, it was good. Okay, this is some good stuff. Do you like that? We talked about this on Extra that's going to come out, but do you like that new J. Cole single?
I love that new J. Cole single.
Mm-hmm. What?
I love that Kevin Durant referenced it before he played the Celtics last Saturday. That was good.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they had like, the old Boston heads looking that song up. Like, what is the song that he's referencing?
That's the J. Cole
this
song.
This is how he feels.
That's the J. Cole song that I replayed. I told you this. The J. Cole song I've replayed the most since I heard Fire Squad.
And I like
that.
KOD.
Yo, I like for I days.
I just didn't replay.
I kept listening to that song, man. Like I couldn't stop listening to it. And then it's funny, from Gary Washburn from the Boston Globe.
Yeah,
because we're always talking about. I'm like, yo, listen to these new rappers, man. J. Cole's my guy.
And he's a hip hop head. I talked to Gary about that.
He was like, yo, that new J. Cole. It's a pretty good song. And that's the best you're gonna get out of Gary talking about new rap.
Yeah, like, that's when I know somebody's older than me. He's like, it's a pretty good song.
Yeah,
I love Gary. I know Gary's a hip hop head, so I know we gotta get him on. Yeah, I gotta reach out.
You should, man. Gary's fun to talk to about, but it's funny, man. He won't give you the time of day. You know, like the new stuff. I'm like, yo, trust me, man. Not all the new stuff is terrible. You just gotta do some digging. Let me put you on. But he wouldn't listen to me. But Kevin Durant brings up the song. He tuned right in right after Kevin Durant.
So I gotta when I see Gary, I gotta talk to him about that. I've seen him. Because you're at that age because you're a 30-year-old and I'm 35, and sometimes you get the older hip hop heads who are like, nah, I'm not gonna listen to this. So I'm not gonna. I tend to see that from people who's like a little bit older. They're like, nah, I'm not gonna do this, and they're very protective of their era. Or people will tell me, they don't think Kendrick or Cole are good.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
I've heard that.
I'm like, what's wrong with y'all?
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard people just don't like Kendrick's like flow. Not his flow,
voice.
But
his voice.
I can understand people don't like his voice. Yeah. I may understand that.
The content though, like it's fire.
I don't get that though. Like I think some people are stuck in how things should sound all the time. Mm. I think you have to.
I agree. J. Cole gets the boring thing also.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And Kendrick gets the voice thing.
Yo, I had to like go through my contact list trying to go. I went to the J. Cole show when he came to Boston over the summer.
Yeah.
People were like, I only like a couple of songs, so I'm good. I'm like, just you don't want to go to the show though. Like you want to just watch him perform. Like those couple songs you like, he might do them. Like you want to go watch? Nah, I'm good. It's like, damn. Like people just don't. And then you have the J. Cole head. It's like, oh, that's their guy. Like it's either you love him or you're like, he's all right. There's no in between.
I love him. I think he's great. I don't understand how people say he's not exciting. I don't understand that. What are you looking forward to this year? Mm-hmm. I know we all have our albums we're looking forward to.
Bandana.
Do you like Freddie Gibbs?
Freddie Gibbs is good. I know that's your guy.
Everybody knows that's his guy.
That's your Jay-Z. That's your Biggie. That's your Tupac.
No.
Yes.
I don't even like. Never mind.
Yes.
He's like, I don't even like Jay-Z.
Yeah.
No. I like Jay-Z. I like Jay-Z. We were talking because Nick Metalino's tries to peg me as a Jay-Z.
See, I'm looking at
the Nas Jay-Z debate y'all had a couple weeks ago.
Oh, you enjoyed that?
That was great, man.
Nick, I was in New York too. Yeah. Nick Metalino's, I'm going to put him in an ankle lock. He tries to peg me as a Jay-Z hater just because I want to put some respect on Nas' discography.
I know that you aren't. Like, I know this. We've had many discussions.
All you Jay-Z fans, like, I get it. Hard Knock Life was the shit.
No, but I like the conversation you two had because it's about the catalog. Because Nas has obviously an amazing catalog. Jay does too.
I was just calling for respect on Nas' catalog.
Where do you stand? Where do you stand on that conversation?
I just think Jay's catalog is untouchable. I mean, that's just me though. And you know, it's a great debate though because Nas' albums are amazing. They're incredible. So it's really close. Nas is easily the closest.
But that's basically what I'm saying is that it's not. People act like Jay-Z's catalog is way better, and I'm like, no, it's close.
No, I wouldn't say that.
Except you had Godson in there, right? No, I got Illmatic, Stillmatic, and It Was Written.
Those are your three.
Those are my three.
You're going with. Yeah. I think Godson's a really good album.
It's a really good album, but that's not my three.
My three was actually Illmatic, Stillmatic, and Life Is Good.
Okay, that's what it was. Yeah, so then you just had that last one.
And then Godson might be right after that, and then you got like Lost Tapes. They're the two best in terms of discography, bodies of work. Some people want to put Kanye there.
His first three albums are really good, though.
No.
They're as good as a lot of people.
Right, but like after that, I mean.
I agree, and that counts. That matters.
Kanye is a really interesting one.
Some people will put Tupac up there.
Some people put
Eminem up there.
I think Jay and Nas were the greats of what they did for their generation, what I listened to growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Kendrick and Cole are doing that right now. Right.
Kendrick is getting there.
I think they're the two. I mean, I already have Kendrick in my top five. So
no, but what I'm saying, he's getting
five bit alive, huh?
Yes.
He's getting closer to Jay-Z, Nas.
His first two albums are as good as anybody's.
What about Damn? I love Damn.
Not as much as I like Good Kid, M.A.A.D City and To Pimp a Butterfly.
But here's the thing. I
love To Pimp a Butterfly, but
I say first three.
I think I like Damn better.
I think a lot of people do because it was the more commercial sounding of the three albums.
Yeah.
What was?
Damn.
Oh, yeah.
Not To Pimp a Butterfly.
No, but hold on. But I include Section 80. I include Section 80.
Yeah,
so then when I'm doing
people's first three albums, I'm including Section 80 and then putting Good Kid, M.A.A.d City and To Pimp a Butterfly, and you could put that against.
Well, if you want to take all four, they're as good as anybody's.
That's what I'm saying. Section 80 counts because that's how I was introduced to him. That's how a lot of people were, and that was an album. It was independent, but that was still the album that came out.
Yeah, it still counts.
It's still No,
and Section 80 is phenomenal.
No, it's there's no doubt. What are you looking forward to seeing drop this year? What do you want to see? Who do you want to see come out this year?
I would love a new Kendrick album. I don't know if that's even coming, but he's due, right? It's been a couple of years.
Yeah, we need that.
Who else?
It's been 2 years.
I was just saying my boy the other day, we were just chilling. He was like, yo, we need the album.
I guess it's just him and Cole, man. I don't know. I need some new rappers, man. I do. I feel like I'm listening to the same heads.
I'm intrigued for new Joey Badass project.
I think he's due. His last one was 2 years ago also.
I want a new Common project.
You know what album was?
I wasn't crazy about his last album.
You know so what? Me neither.
No, I wasn't. There's some songs, but not.
You know what album wasn't terrible? You know what album wasn't terrible that I've recently heard because of Melvin, who we had on this podcast? Mm. Jaden Smith's.
That wasn't bad, actually. It took me a while to finally listen to it because people kept talking about it.
See, I feel like I'm about to get into Gary Washburn mode of being like,
yeah.
Like, I don't know. I'm going to try that.
Like, that's a little too young.
No, but when somebody says something's good, I'm at least going to try it.
I don't know. Like, I'm not going to like bump the hell out of it all year long type of thing. Right. But he can rap. He can rap.
Okay, that's interesting because I would go into it not taking him seriously.
Right.
I don't want to go in and listen to it like
him
that.
Being
I want to go in with a
him being a Smith,
mindset.
Him being a Smith is hard for people to take him seriously because he's Will Smith's son, so people would think whatever. Like, what are you rapping about? Your life's been great. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, what
kind of struggles have you faced?
Honestly, that's how people on the outside looking in are with that.
No doubt.
I actually think he can rap. It's very short, too. Let me actually see. The project is very short.
What do you think of Kid Cudi?
I've liked Kid Cudi.
I love bringing
up
Kid Cudi because ever since he dropped the album with Kanye, people were just like, oh,
but I didn't
where's this dude been? I'm like, he's 30, been around. 30, what you mean?
36 minutes, that album.
I like Jada that. Smith. Like
11
that?
Songs, 36 minutes. There's one 6-minute song and another one that's close to 6 minutes, and there's a bunch of songs that are less than 2 minutes, but still.
Okay, I'm going to have to check that out. Kid Cudi, I've liked his music over the years. I think he's really talented. I did not listen to the Kid Cee Ghost project with Kanye.
Wow. What?
Oh, yeah, Cudi's your guy, right? Yeah, I'm not a big Kid Cudi guy.
I like Kid Cudi,
personally.
Though. Like, why
did you not listen to Kid Cee Ghost?
Kanye.
Because Kanye.
Oh,
and I'm off that Kanye.
You on the boycott, the Kanye boycott? You're on that?
I can't rock with him, man.
Oh, come
right
on,
now.
Man.
I can't rock with him. Hey, here's the thing,
damn.
Though.
The only thing I listened to
Daytona.
Daytona was fire.
Which I
it's one of the best albums of the year.
And I thought Kanye's production on that was definitely bumping.
Throughout that five album, that was easily his production wise, easily his best one.
I'll give the Kid Cee Ghost because I do like Cudi. I liked Cudi's.
He's gonna come in here with a hoodie next week.
He's
gonna be like,
I don't know about that.
Just put me on.
I might come in and cross out the Kanye.
Damn.
I did like. What was the song he did with the Waves joint? He did with Pharrell.
Oh,
I like his work. I'd like to see Cudi and Pharrell do some more work.
Yeah,
I thought
that song
was
dope.
Together.
That album was a good album.
That album was a good album.
He had Andre on there.
Andre,
Three Stacks had a couple of... Okay, so you know Cudi.
I listened to the album. Yeah, right, that was a good album.
Yo, a lot of people don't even know that album existed. No, everyone was like, the Day and Night Dude? I'm like, come on.
Nah, man, Day and Night years ago. Which is also a good project.
When people say that,
I gotta listen to the Boogie projects, though.
When people say the Day and Night Dude, man, that just... Oh, man.
You just like that day of listening to anything.
It's like you don't even know.
I'm looking at the list of stuff that came out in January, and it sucks.
Yeah,
so,
there's not much great.
Like, other than Boogie, there's probably not much I'm really
That's why I have the J. Cole song on repeat, man. That's all we got right
now. Honestly.
Middle Child's knocking.
All right. I'm looking forward to that Dreamville project, though. And then February
yo,
is
all those dudes can spit, man.
February, you have, look at this.
Dreamville
you have
got some
You have Lil Pump, that Harvard dropout album I told you about in August is going to come out in February.
Okay.
Snoop Dogg is dropping an album. Not listening to that, no offense. but, like... Snoop Dogg in 2019, I'm good. Offset.
Yo, he dropped like 3 albums last year.
Smith and Wesson. Really? Oh. Yes. Insane Clown Posse.
No.
Can't believe you even said that.
Ghostface Killah. That's interesting. With Czarface.
He had that Lost Tapes joint. What was it? Over the summer?
That's for another 5.
There's a Culture 3? Oh, God.
Songs.
The culture needs to stop. The culture doesn't need Culture 3.
They don't stop, man.
They suck. Honestly,
I know, and every album
sucks.
They have the audacity to have 28 tracks on each album. It's like, why do you do this?
Of the same thing over and over. So this is what I'm looking forward to.
They all
try.
Is that it for February?
Yeah. I don't know who the dirt ball is.
Do we have anything for March?
Because
something
against one. Mad Child.
My boy Justin B.
There's a lot of
people. No, none.
No, we didn't really talk about anything.
There's a lot. There's a lot of TBA, and one of them is by DMX. That's how you have to know we're going. He's fresh out.
He's dropping something. He just came out.
Cardi B is allegedly going to drop something. Two Chainz might be interesting. Two Chainz might actually be interesting.
Two Chainz would be interesting for the features.
Joyner Lucas and Chris Brown.
What?
A collaboration called Angels and Demons?
Hey.
Well, Dream- Chris Brown got some demons he's fighting right now. That's a whole other story.
Dream Chasers 5. Sway Lee. Run the Jewels 4. I'll listen to that. Listen to Run the Jewels 4.
I got to watch the show. You watch the Killer Mike show?
I just started it last night. I heard it's really good. Actually, the first episode is really good. We'll talk about it.
Oh, Killer Mike's?
Killer Mike show.
Yeah, he was talking about it on Rogan's thing.
He did a good thing about trying to like support black businesses for like a whole 3 days. It was interesting.
Really. Yo.
That's my guy, man.
Sky Zoo and Pete Rock. Forgot about that. We mentioned that last episode.
Does that have a date?
No, it doesn't. Okay. But
so basically, February and March
we
suck.
Can bring Sky Zoo back on a podcast, talk about it.
Basically, February and March suck.
Yes. Well, it looks like the year is probably going to. Well, we don't know.
You know what was a slept on album? The joint album with Styles P and
Davies?
Yes.
Yeah, solid.
Yo,
that
album was solid. Actually, I think you guys talked about that. We got to talk about the best albums of the year.
Yeah.
Solid. I'm glad y'all shot that out.
It's solid. That album was
that
solid.
Album was like unexpected.
The back and forth between those two, the chemistry.
Yeah, it was. I was impressed with it.
Yeah. And I didn't know a whole lot about Davies going into the album, but he impressed me.
And then there's also Ray Shremmerd, Sway Lee, and then T-Pain and Bandana.
This year does not excite me. Kendrick Cole, please save it.
Hey, that's what it is,
Joey
man.
Badass, you can come through.
We need them.
Freddie Gibbs, Madlib.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that's going to save the year for me, but it will make your year, that's for sure.
You think we'll see a J album?
You're a hater.
Probably next year.
Nah.
2020?
I don't think so.
Oh,
we could.
I'd like one.
It's going to be real.
How about this?
I want a Nas album, too.
It's
going to
be politically motivated, too.
I was going to say that. If this dude gets reelected, then Jay's coming with an album.
Right. And you know he's not going to make an announcement. It's going to be in your phone one day.
It's going to be the day after Election Day.
With the flag upside down.
I love
going to be the cover art.
I love 444.
You better be careful. You at WEI.
I hope. Oh God!
That's a joke, Boston. I'm kidding.
No, he's not. All right, we got to get out. We got to get out of here.
Cease and desist. No, I'm just
you'll be all right, right?
Cease and desist.
I hope so.
You'll be all right with
yeah,
the.
I'll be all right.
You'll be all right with
come
the
on,
joke.
Man.
Because I'm the one making the jokes.
Hey,
He's just laughing.
I'm out here. No, man. I said what I said. Because I stand by what I said.
There we go. We like that's what
I'm trying to change
that's
things
what Kyrie
already.
Would do.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't own
that's
anybody.
What Kyrie would
Kyrie's say. Like, exactly. Josue is like, I don't own anybody. Shit. I said that. Not Josue.
One more album for you, 2019. Ski Mask, The Slump God.
Yeah. Let's pick numbers for this episode. it's episode 64. We got to pick some numbers and get out of here.
Terrible list. Terrible. Elmer Descends starts it off. So if you know about the artwork, right? We don't got to explain it to you. Mm-mm. Where you put the athlete. We put the athlete on the artwork. Because like it's episode 64, so we pick an athlete that wore 64 to put on the artwork for that.
Oh,
episode.
That's right. Okay.
So you've probably seen that before. 64 is terrible. Not a lot of good athletes have wore 64. Elmer Descends, reliever for the Mets. Okay, moving on. You're not picking that. Jose Reyes stole 64 bases in 2006. You're not with it?
Oh, okay.
I love Jose.
Yeah, man.
Jose. I'm thinking about it. I may make an exception for this.
He led the league too, and that was the last year. The Mets made it to the NLCS.
Yo, right? I caught a Mets game a couple years back, man. Great stadium. That was a good time.
Thank you.
City feels nice.
Against the Sox.
City feels nice.
City feels
nice.
That
was good.
Matt Prater, longest field goal, 64 yards.
Okay.
I'm sorry, man. I tried. 64 is terrible.
Keep going. Keep going.
Randall McDaniel, offensive lineman, I think.
No.
Pro Bowler, Hall of Famer, I think. Michael Jordan career high versus the Magic.
This is awful.
January 93.
Against the Magic?
Yeah. Against Shaq and Penny. No, wait.
Nope.
Just Shaq.
Just Shaq. No Penny.
Yeah. That's why. If Penny was there, it would have been 58. Jeff Hardings.
Nope.
I don't know who that is. Jack Reynolds. Tom Raftery and Zach Streif. I told you, man. I tried. I'm going with Jose Reyes, man.
I know Jose Reyes.
I'm going with
Reyes
Jose
by
Reyes.
A landslide.
It's terrible.
Plus,
I warned you. Once we get into the 60s, it's going to be bad because all it's going to be is offensive linemen because no one in NBA history wears numbers in the 60s like that.
Which is disappointing.
Yeah.
Plus,
it's an ugly number.
Jose Reyes, Latino. We had a Latino guest.
Yeah,
let's
perfect,
represent.
Perfect.
Oh,
yeah.
Let's represent.
And I like
there
him.
There you go.
I like
and
him.
You like him. So it's all good. Right.
So,
hey, Josue, thank you so much.
Yo, thanks for having me, man. This is
one
fun.
Last question for you before we get out of here.
What's
is
up?
Simply Celtics fans are going to want to know.
What's good?
Celtics are not on pace to do what a lot of people thought they would do, win 65 games. Are they going to make it to the finals? Are they going to win the whole thing? What's going to happen with the Celtics this year? What are Celtics going to do?
But they're not going to get 64 wins, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, we know that.
They don't even get 60. But I do think they'll come out of the East
Okay.
and bow out against the Warriors.
Okay.
That's my prediction.
Okay. That's your prediction.
The Battle against the Warriors. Will you be back? It's going to be a fun ride.
Will you be back when they play Brooklyn?
I will, actually. Yeah. March 30th, right? Yeah.
March 30th.
Yeah, I'll be here.
We have to bring you back on.
Yo, let's do it.
All right, man.
I'm down, man. I'll be around. It's a weekend game, too. It's a Saturday game.
So Saturday. I'll be here for the weekend. Okay, so that's cool. That's cool. That's cool. And for people who don't know, Josue did a great thing because he brought his boy who's here sitting watching this in studio.
Oh, that's right. Y'all hit it off.
I found out he's from Flatbush. And he's from Grenada.
Yeah.
So it was great. Yeah. The vibes was real. I just knew as soon as he came.
Yeah, you hugged him.
he jumped up out of his chair.
That's a Spice Brother. So I gotta hug him.
It's my boy Justin Abuser, man. Every time I come out here, I'm with him. I'm rocking.
Yeah, so he came and he watched the episode. He hung out here. So it was all good. All right, Grant, that is Josue Pavon.
That's right.
You like that? Like
there
I said
go.
It there.
There you go.
From WEEI and WEEI, we don't want any problems at all. We love you. He's a Celtics beat reporter for WEEI. Man, thank you for coming and hanging out with us.
Guys.
We appreciate it. Once again, that's episode 64. For Josue Pavon, Brian Fonseca, and Dexter Henry, whose name doesn't sound as Latino. That's it. Until next time, y'all. Peace.